Thank you guys for being here. It's good to come together. Thanks for spending part of your weekend here. My name's Dove, and we're doing a series right now, Love Is, and we're looking at healthy relationships. How can we cultivate healthy relationships? And relationships are one of those things that they take work. It doesn't matter if it's a best friend or your parents or your kids or a partner. They just require work. They just don't happen automatically. And so I don't hope that's not bad news. I'm like, oh man, I was hoping you would come today and say, I have the secret for all of relationships and you're good to go. But they do require work, but it's worth it. Relationships are so good. Having healthy relationships with our coworkers and with our neighbors and friends and other students, whatever our world is such a gift. It's really what we were made for. We were made to be in healthy relationships. And so we're going to continue with that this morning. And I guess this is my disclaimer. I don't like to tease a lot. I don't like to be super sarcastic, but I'm going to be a little bit sarcastic this morning, and I'm going to tease a little bit this morning. So, you know that saying, sticks and stones can break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That is a complete lie. In this room, we have been hurt way more by words than sticks and stones. And so, I don't say that lightly. Words are a very important thing. And so even now, this is my warning as I'm a little bit sarcastic this morning and teasing a little bit. I don't mean anything harsh by it. So anyways, so we're going to start with a video. And my brother sent me this video. And at his college, I think the president of the college sent it out to everybody. So if you guys want to roll that, please.
What is the most inspiring thing I ever said to you?
Don't be an idiot. Changed my life. Whenever I'm about to do something, I think, would an idiot do that? And if they would, I do not do that thing.
Okay. That's pretty good advice. Yeah. But this morning, let's be honest. Relationships would be a lot easier if other people weren't idiots. And around us, I'm not talking about you guys, but people are idiots. And in relationship, they have double standards. They do one thing and you do the same thing. And all of a sudden, they're up in arms. And people expect you to read their minds. And when you don't read their mind, they're offended and blown up as if you were supposed to know. And then people, they're so sensitive. You say one little thing and they're totally hurt. Of course, they're slinging these huge bombs around and say all kinds of things. But if one little thing comes back, oh, you just destroyed me. And people are idiots. They do so many illogical things. It's like if you would just do things that made sense, it would make this relationship a lot easier. But what you are doing is just plain dumb sometimes. I mean, and it would be a lot easier if people weren't like that. And sometimes I just want to tell them, like, don't be an idiot. That is really good advice. Stop being an idiot. So this morning, I want to look at some of the brain chemistry that actually happens. And so I don't know that much about brain chemistry, but I want to get into a little bit of brain chemistry this morning. So in our brains, we have millions and millions of neurons. And neurons in our brains have little connections between the neurons, these little gaps where information is carried from one neuron to another. It's called a synapse. And so it's electric and chemical. And it passes through the neurons at incredible speed and jumps across the synapse with these tiny little molecules called neurotransmitters. And so neurotransmitters carry information from one neuron to another. And so there's many different neurotransmitters in our body. Some of them are extremely important. I'm just going to go into a couple of those, three of them this morning. Dopamine, norepinephrine, and serotonin are three very important neurotransmitters that affect our mood. And if they're all working, we have a balanced mood, and they contribute different pieces to that. And so dopamine is responsible for bringing alertness, norepinephrine, concentration, serotonin, satisfaction. And you can see on the side, it talks about what happens if those are missing. So if norepinephrine is missing, instead of having certainty, we have doubt. Instead of determination, obsession. Instead of recall memory, dementia. And so this is why it's really important to have a healthy diet, sleep, get sunlight. All of these factors can affect our neurotransmitters and completely change our mood. Okay, so how does this affect us when other people around us are being idiots? And what I've found is there's another neurotransmitter inside of our bodies, which is called MRMB. And MRMB is actually really responsible for a lot of things. And MRMB stands for the moritest, most bestest. And what happens when we have this neurotransmitter, and I don't know if any of you felt this, when I was sarcastically, I was bringing something, sharing about how everyone else is idiots, I got a little squirt of MRMB in my brain. And it said, yeah, I am more rightest and the most bestest. And that neurotransmitter started to do these things to me. And so I'm really teasing myself this morning, because it's me that has this neurotransmitter. And when this happens, so my brain starts surging with this more rightest, most bestest. And it affects my vision. And all of a sudden, I can see acutely, even through walls at times, the exact details that are happening to that person who's being an idiot. I can see it so clearly. It's just like X-ray vision. And then it affects my ears, and what happens in my ears, they get completely numb. I don't know what they're saying, mostly because it's not important at that time. It's really insignificant, because I know at that moment, I am the more rightest, most bestest. And whatever they have to say is probably illogical and most likely unimportant. I probably already know it anyways. And so this is something that actually happens in our relationships. Obviously, I made all this up. It is true you do have serotonin and dopamine, norepinephrine in your brain, and those are important. But this way of judging, this way of looking at others, is actually a huge thing in our world. And there's a psychologist, Gottman, who's studied this a bit, and he calls it contempt. I just want to read a little bit. I thought this was fascinating. Contempt, a virulent mix of anger and disgust, is far more toxic than simple frustration or negativity. It involves seeing your partner as beneath you rather than as equal. This behavior alone, says Gottman, is the kiss of death for a relationship. Take an everyday argument about buying groceries, for example. When you come home and realize your significant other has picked up habanero peppers rather than bell peppers for tonight's stir-fry dinner, do you listen while he explains that perhaps you didn't ever tell him what type of peppers you wanted? Do you think this over, and when you realize that maybe he's right, do you apologize? Or do you adopt an attitude and think to yourself, what kind of an idiot doesn't know that bell peppers are for stir-fries and habaneros are for salsa? The reason contempt is so powerful is because it means you've closed yourself off to your partner's needs and emotions. If you constantly feel smarter than, better than, or more sensitive than your significant other, you're not only less likely to see his or her opinions as valid, but more important, you're far less willing to try to put yourself in his or her shoes or try to see a situation from his or her perspective. Okay, so this is this guy's research. But I certainly see it in my life. And I see it around me. What do we do with that? What would God say about that? Where do we go from there? That's what I want to look at today. Let's pray and ask God to speak into that. God, thank you for this morning. God, I thank you that you love us. God, if anyone should look on anyone else with contempt, certainly you have a right to look on me with contempt. And yet you don't. You're so kind and gracious, and I appreciate that. Thank you for the amazing ways that you treat us so much better than we deserve. Thank you for the love that you pour out on us. God, I ask that you would grow us. I ask that you would reveal things in us for our benefit. I ask that you would change our hearts, draw them closer to your heart, and teach us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so love is believing the best when people do things that seem absurd. How do we love in that? And I find part of the way to believe the best, Paul says it like this in his letters to the Philippians. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. And that sounds so easy. Just think about all the good stuff in people. Don't think about the bad stuff. Done. All right, let's go home. And I wish I could all the time. That would be amazing. But sometimes I feel that I am above them in some way, or they are against me sometimes. So let's look through this a little bit. So strong judgment or contempt destroys relationships. In Matthew 7, Jesus is talking about judgment. He says, "Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' when all the time there's a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye." These words are really convicting to me. I think some of the things Jesus has said are the strongest words I've ever heard in my life. And he's saying, don't look at the little things in people's lives. What about yourself? And when I look at other people and I don't look at myself, I can get this proud, man, I can help fix you, or something's wrong with you, instead of realizing, wow, I'm in the same boat. Really, at the end of the day, we both have strengths and weaknesses. I have struggles. You have struggles. I can see with a little compassion and understanding when I am willing to look at my own stuff in my life. So I just want to go through a few things in this that I think help me move out of judgment and into respect of others. And the first one that helps me is I move out of judgment of others and respect them when I remember who I am. When I remember who I am, it puts me in a good spot. Paul writes to Timothy, 1 Timothy 1:15, "Here's a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst." Wow. This is a trustworthy saying. Deserves full acceptance. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. And I'm aware of that. Sometimes I think other people's sins might be greater, but they're at a distance. The ones I see the most brightly, the most acutely are my own. But for that reason, I was shown mercy so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. This phrase has been really grounding for me. I come back to this a lot. Who am I? I was the worst of sinners. And the most amazing thing is that God loved me so much. God's love for me is so incredibly deep and pure, so incredibly undescribable and unfathomable. He loves me so unconditionally, so completely. He loves me, and he loves you. He loves you so much, exactly in that place, exactly how you are, exactly who you are, exactly your shortcomings and strengths. God loves you so much that he would give his own son for you. The worst of sinners, he would give his own son for me to show mercy on me. What amazing love. Not because I deserved it or was so incredible, but because he said I was worthy, because he said I was worth it. And you are worth love because God made you that way, not because of anything you earned. Enough that he wants to be in your life. He wants to give you eternal life. And he's given us that in Christ. And when I remember who I am on my own, I am just the worst of sinners. That's it. I might think I'm hot stuff. I might think I'm better than somebody else. But at the end of the day, that's what I am. But with Christ, I am loved. I am full. His life is in me. I have eternal life. What an amazing gift. Not of my own merit, but of him. That is helpful to me. When I feel my brain surging with, I am the more rightest, most bestest, and I remember, wait a second. I am just the worst of sinners on my own. Empowered by Christ to be a temple of his spirit, of his life. And then I can see with different eyes. I can hear other people. Another thing that I think is extremely powerful that helps me move out of judgment and into respect is when I stay in a place of I wonder instead of a place of assumption and accusation. And I think assumption and accusation are the biggest tools of judgment. I assume this about you, but it's a good assumption. In fact, I would say I know this about you. I know how you are. This is what you do. When I say that I'm making assumptions, sometimes they turn into accusations. You are like this, and you are bad, and you deserve whatever. You just deserve something. But when I stay in a place of I wonder, it takes away that judgment. Let me give you an example. Imagine you send an email to someone and they don't reply for a week. All of a sudden you have a choice. You can go into assumption. See? They're mad at me. See? I knew that they couldn't handle this. I knew that they would take this the wrong way. They're probably upset. They're probably stewing over it. They're probably talking to other people about it. All these assumptions, instead of just staying in, I wonder why they didn't reply to my email. That's a really healthy place to stay, I wonder. And even if we talk to someone, let's say you have kids and they're supposed to do the dishes. If they don't do the dishes, it's easy to come in. What's wrong with you? You never do what I ask you to do. You're always against me. I have to tell you 6 times. You're doing this as an act of defiance, aren't you? You're trying to rebel and show me that you're upset with me instead of just, hey, I was wondering why you didn't do the dishes. and it gives someone the opportunity to speak, hey, I wonder why this happened. Oh, well, this is what happened. And it's so easy, and I think we do it with our close relationships a lot because we know them so well. And this last week, Holly and I had an opportunity to go to Colorado, and there's a pastor whose heart is just to minister to couples and help pastor couples and other couples to grow in relationship. And so we spent 4 nights in their house, which is set up just to be a place of rest and a place of healing. And we just laughed and cried for 3 full days. And for me, one of the most painful things that I realized in that whole time is that I have sat in judgment against my wife in a lot of areas. And as I talked to her about that and I shared that and asked for her forgiveness, and I also asked her to share whatever she wanted to add to that, there was a lot more to that hurt than I ever knew. And sometimes I assume Holly is thinking a certain way. Sometimes I assume she's against me, the way she's acting, but I don't even know. And I don't take the time to really ask and to really get to know. And that's the next point. I move out of judgment and into respect when I actually listen to someone. When I say, I don't actually know you and I'm going to listen, tell me. Tell me how you feel. Tell me what you're thinking. Tell me what's going on in you. And it doesn't matter if you've been married 50 years. You don't completely know another person. It doesn't matter if you've worked next to somebody for 30 years and they always do the same thing. We don't know another person. We don't really know what's going on in them. We can assume and sometimes accuse. But when we really listen, when we really try to understand their perspective, we realize there's way more. And Holly and I went for a hike. We were hiking and I just started asking her questions. And just asking her about her perspective and where she comes from and what she thinks about certain issues that I'm going to be honest, I already assumed I knew the answers to. I got a lot of pride sometimes, which is why I think I might be an expert to actually speak into this. But when I move out of that judgment, it's amazing just to hear this amazing woman who I know some of about her, but I certainly don't know the full extent. And we got done with this hike and she's just glowing like, wow, that was such a nice conversation. Like, wow, maybe I should do that a little more. Those of you men in a relationship, I recommend it. Ask your partner something and listen. You might be surprised at what's there. Of course, it's pretty hard when you listen not to say, well, here's the better answer and here's how you should feel, and here's how you could feel, and here's how we could see it from a different angle, and I don't actually agree with your interpretation. Well, of course not, because I'm so full of myself. And so I'm excited to actually get to know my wife a little more, this amazing, amazing woman that I married and who sometimes I put in a box, but there's way more to her. And each of us, I think we'd be surprised if we actually listened to our parents and tried to hear where they were coming from. And without judgment, just listened and just allowed them that opportunity to say, this is who I am and this is how I see things. And there's an amazing connection that's formed in that. And it applies to any relationships. Our kids, those of us that have kids, what if we listen to our kids? Of course, Sometimes kids say dumb stuff. Let me steer you in the right direction. I wasn't an idiot when I was a kid, though. I knew everything. But may we step out of that place of judgment into that. We're going to spend another week talking about listening and speaking. So I'm not going to go into this too much, but I step out of judgment into respect when I speak my feelings and desires clearly. Rather than just, oh, you can't handle this, or you don't want to hear from me. I put a judgment on somebody by not speaking clearly to them. And when I have the courage to just speak clearly, this is how I'm feeling, this is what I want, I go out of judgment. I trust them and say, I respect you enough that you can handle what I want to say to you. And we'll talk more about that in a couple weeks, but when I believe the best about somebody else, I'm able to get to know someone. And people are worth getting to know. Even people that we might look down on and think there's nothing of real value to know in them. They were made in the image of God. And they're worth getting to know. And so, that's my challenge for myself. I hope there's something in there for you too as we step out of judgment into a place of respecting others to remember who we are. To remember who they are in that too. They are loved by God. They are chosen by God. God delights in them. He delights in me. And when I remember who I am in God's sight, it gives me that freedom to not cast judgment, but just to be with somebody. Just to be in relationship with them and not have to get fixed and not fix them and just eliminate that judgment. What a gift. And then when I stay in a place of I wonder instead of a place of assumption or accusation, it's an amazing gift to me. I try to analyze people. I have all kinds of theories about my wife. Yeah, it's because of her childhood and because of her this and, you know, it's this personality feature. She did the Myers-Briggs and I know this, you know. But when I let go of those, just say, I wonder what you're feeling today. It's just a brand new world. And it gives me an opportunity to know somebody else. And so again, this isn't intended just for marriage relationship, but I think in all of our relationships, this is really valuable. Let's pray again. And God, I just come before you. God, I give you the challenge in my own heart of seeing the place where I have walked in judgment, and I want to turn. I want to walk on a new path. God, I pray for each person here. I don't know in what ways you've tugged on their hearts, what ways you've revealed things in their lives. I ask that you would give each one of us the courage to respond to you, to draw in closer, to value the relationships we have, and to let go of judgment. Thank you for how you see us. Thank you for what you've done to make us acceptable in your eyes. Thank you that you see us acceptable and worth knowing. And just ask that you would help us to respond to whatever you're speaking to us. In Jesus' name, amen.